And finally this month, how did our cells come by their nucleosomes? These are short stretches of DNA wrapped around a sort of protein ball. The nucleosomes help us to pack DNA tightly inside our cell nuclei, and they also control when genes get turned on and off. But now, speaking with Kat Arney, Cory Nislow at the University of British Columbia has discovered that these structures were probably doing something else before they were turned by our sorts of cells into spools for DNA.
We noticed that nucleosomes occupied a very characteristic position in the genome. As any good biologist would do, we set about trying to perturb that, and we spent a lot of time looking at mutants in yeast, and some of these mutants in yeast were extremely informative, but most weren't. And so we wanted to look at an extreme environment to see, you know, like push the system to failure to the point where we knew we were going to see some kind of, like if we didn't see a dramatic change in the location of nucleosomes, we would really start to wonder what's going on. So we start to look for extremophilic organisms that live in, you know, near boiling water or near saturated solutions of salt. As we were looking for eukaryotes in those environments, we kept finding archaea or archaebacterial organisms. They were all over the place in boiling water environments, in environments where the salt concentration is so high that the salt will actually be precipitating out of solution, like in the Dead Sea. Rather than keep looking for eukaryotes in those environments, we started to say, well, maybe we should look at these archaea. And archaea have nucleosomes that are remarkably similar to eukaryotic nucleosomes, except they're half size. Using new mapping technology, specifically next-generation sequencing, we prepared nucleosomes from archaea, and we also prepared RNA at the same time. So we can ask, one, is the organization the same in archaea as it is in eukaryotes? And two, is this correlation that we see between gene expression and nucleosome positioning maintained? And I wouldn't be talking to you if the answer to both questions wasn't yes.
So what did you find?
So we found that this parallel universe is exactly what's going on, in that the entirety of the archaebacterial genome is wrapped up in nucleosomes. It's the frequency of the wraps are twice that of what you see in eukaryotes because they're half the size and they only wrap half as much DNA. And the regions that have fewer nucleosomes are regions at the beginnings and ends of genes where other proteins need to fight for access to the DNA to turn things on and off.
And that's exactly what you find in eukaryotes as well.
And that's why I was saying it was really like a little parallel universe for us.
When you found this, what did you think? Because traditionally there's been views that archaea and eukaryotes are very separate in terms of their evolution and their separate branches of an evolutionary tree. What do you think now in the light of your experiments?
Originally, histones were thought of as a wonderful device for packing DNA into a tiny space. Each of us has over 4 meters of DNA that we have to squeeze down into a nucleus that's only 5 millionths of a meter in diameter. And so one of the things they must be doing is serving as, you know, the ultimate packing material. But archaea don't have nuclei and therefore don't have the same constraints of really shoving all of their DNA into such a tight space. And so we let ourselves wonder if, given the fact that the nucleosomes in archaea are intimately linked with the gene expression patterns, that maybe evolution first used nucleosomes to control gene expression, and then shortly thereafter, when it came time to get everything into the nucleus, it co-opted that mechanism. You know, this wouldn't be the first case where proteins moonlight and serve multiple functions.
Cory Nislow, he was speaking with Kat Arney.